listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is January 28th. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, Pastor James Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. Good morning, Pastor Yonkers.
Good morning.
So good to have this chance to study with you again, and glad that you were willing to come back here to His Time and help us study in Romans chapter 16 this time. Tell us about your congregation, First Lutheran Church, Floralla, Alabama.
Well, First Lutheran Church is a congregation. We've been here for 40 or 50 years now, and we are a small congregation, but we have a very close-knit, very intimate community of believers here where we worship and confess the true Word of God, and we come together and gather as a family, and it's always wonderful to see how we work together as a family of God, which was the epistle reading this past Sunday, so it's wonderful.
Well, very good, very good. Romans chapter 16 is what we're studying today, verses 17 through 27. Pastor, what would you like for us to know about this text as we prepare to study today?
As we look at it, there's several parts to it. First, we have the final instructions that Paul gives to the people as he closes his letter to Romans. Then he gives them a blessing in verse 25, and those parts, you know, he has the greeting, he has some instruction, and he gives a blessing, and those are the three parts we look at, and so that's what we want to look as we go into this text.
All right, Romans chapter 16 is what we're studying today, beginning at verse 17. If you have a question or a comment, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. Here we go, Romans 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All right, let's take a look. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Pastor?
Mm-hmm. Well, first thing you see there is he tells us we're going to have divisions. And let's look at the church today. Let's look at the church yesterday and throughout time. We've had divisions in the church. Even going back to the book of Acts, there were divisions in the church. And so we look at that, and we are to expect divisions because we come from a broad variety of places, a broad variety of people and backgrounds. And so that's to be understood. But as we come together as the family of God, we are to come together under one banner, the banner of Christ, and come together and unite under Christ through our baptism. And so that's what Paul's reminding them of. And it doesn't say avoid divisions that are based on Scripture, but avoid those that aren't necessarily involving the Scripture, but something like the cultural, economic, mm-hmm. other divisions that are outside of the Scriptures. It doesn't say give up the truth of Scripture for the sake of unity. And that's the line there.
For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive.
Yeah, as we have the divisions, we tend to form our little cliques, our little groups, form our camps. And if we are in open discussion, that's fine. But if we then use it for trying to gain our own power for our own sake rather than for the sake of the gospel, if we choose to make it about us and not about what does the Word of God say, then we have issues, then we have problems. But if we're debating over what does the Word of God say, as we've done in the past, as we'll certainly do in the future, that's a blessed debate. And Paul, I think, would bless that because Paul himself talks about what does the Word of God say. Let's look at what the Word of God says. But he avoids, well, see what we do. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where he says it, but he says, if I want to boast, I can boast. Let me boast. But he says, I don't do that. That's not what we're here for. We're here for God. We're here to hear his word and receive his gifts.
For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil.
You know, remember, Paul hasn't met these people. Paul hasn't been to Rome yet. He doesn't get to Rome until finally he's imprisoned and brought there as a prisoner. And Paul's, in his opening, he states his yearning to come to Rome and visit these people, not only the capital of the empire, but also a place where there's a church. And so he writes to them as a very wise leader of the church, a very respected leader of the church. And now he gives them some wisdom and some knowledge about how to deal with division and how to deal with one another. Be excellent at what is good. And how are we excellent at what is good? We're excellent at what is good by always taking everything to the cross, taking everything to be washed in Jesus' blood, taking everything to be recreated, restored, renewed by the blood of the Lamb, and to be innocent of evil. Well, that's the same way, by taking all of the bad and taking that to the cross, having it wiped clean, being forgiven, and being restored unto the cross. And that's how we're excellent at what is good, and that's how we're innocent of evil.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Where was this done? This was done at the cross. Christ cried out, "It is finished." So there his victory was won. There Satan's head was crushed. Now we want to see it in this world. We want to see sin ended. We want to see Satan not just on a chain, as Luther talks about, but we want to see him eternally just trapped in hell. And that day is coming. That day will come soon. He's already defeated, and we will see that on the final day of judgment. We'll see evil eternally sent to hell and restrained there. And we will see ourselves, Christians, all those who put their faith in Christ, living eternally in the glory of the Father. And this is the blessing that Paul reminds them of, as he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with you."
Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen.
You know, here he just takes the time to mention the greetings of his associates that they might know, or those that might know have met the people in Rome. Because remember, Paul hasn't been there yet. Timothy, of course, is basically a seminary student of Paul's. He has several epistles written to Timothy about how to be a good pastor. So Timothy is learning as to exactly who some of these others, but my fellow coworker. Remember, Paul's not alone. Paul does not work alone. Just as we pastors, we don't work alone. We work together in a brotherhood. The Southern District, we just had our church worker conference where we gathered together and worshiped and grew and looked together at what's the future and how do we go about making disciples of all nations and continuing to baptize in this world. And so that's what Paul's doing here as he sends the greetings of the whole church and not just himself.
I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord.
Here we learn, remember Paul's eyes were weak, he says. There's a place where he says, I write this with my own hand. He says he writes that, and I imagine his handwriting looks about as bad as mine. I'm a visually impaired pastor, so I understand this, having someone else write the letter for him. Paul's very educated. He knows how, but he's also wise enough to know if I write it, you guys won't be able to read it, so I'm having Tertius write it for you. And then Tertius, who's writing the letter, also sends his greetings, just as Timothy and others, Timothy and Lucius and Sosipater, did as well.
And then this last person he mentions, the last few people he mentions, verse 23, Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you.
Well, here we just learned some more about the people that Paul is living with and being associated with where he's at right now as he writes the letter to Romans. Gaius was obviously the head of the church, and he sends his greetings, and he's living in the house of someone. Remember, the church back then, we didn't have these glorious grand buildings we have now, or we didn't even have small little A-frame churches like mine. But what they had was they had someone who opened their house to the church. And as we look to how we do church in the modern world, more and more, starting by meeting in a house and then getting a small storefront and then maybe moving on to a classic traditional type of sanctuary, if they so choose. I remember back then that was not done yet. They were still meeting in people's houses. And so that's what we learn from these verses as we hear these final greetings.
Anything else about this first section, verses 17 through 23, Pastor?
I think that we hear the greetings, and we really want to focus, I think, on be excellent at what is good and be innocent of evil. And as we hear that, it's so easy to make it turn it into works righteousness. We want to do what's right. We want to do what's good. We want to be the good people, and it's good to be those good people. But remember, whatever we try to do good, we always fail. For everything is tainted in sin. Everything is tainted by our sinfulness, which is who we are. But then when it is done through our baptism under the cross, then we can truly do the good works, and we can truly be innocent of evil. Romans 16:19, I think, is the key to this part here. Be excellent at what is good, and be innocent of what is evil.
We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor James Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. We're in Romans chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 27. If you have a question or a comment, send us an email, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying with Pastor Yonkers. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
What did Pope Francis recently have to say about social media, internet communities, and trolling? We'll find out Thursday on Issues Etc. from Terry Mattingly. We'll also continue our series Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare with Dr. Robert Bennett, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Afraid.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Jesus once said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. On the next Jubilation, I'll share faith-strengthening music, and I'll talk about how Jesus is laying down his life for you means you get to take yours up again, all the way to heaven. More on that taken-up type life on the next Jubilation Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily New Testament reading with Pastor James Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floralla, Alabama. We're in Romans chapter 16 today, verses 17 through 27. Pastor, anything else about that first section before we go on to the doxology here?
I think we've covered it really well. I just want to mention again, or maybe we haven't really, I didn't say too much about the God of peace soon crushing Satan. We've mentioned that was done at the cross. We want to remember the promise in Genesis where the serpent shall bruise the heel, but the son shall crush the head of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to remember that as we hear that as well.
All right. Here we go. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen."
Amen.
Amen. To him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ.
You know, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel, who's that? That's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the one who brings us our faith. And how does he strengthen us? He strengthens us through the faith. He strengthens us through his word, through his sacrament, through his through baptism, through his blessed sacrament, through the forgiveness of sins, the office of the keys. And he does it, and that's the gospel that he speaks of. And my gospel, Paul's taking ownership of the gospel, not that he created the gospel, but this is the message he's giving to the Romans through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul's giving the gospel to the people. And why is it my gospel? Because he's sharing his faith. We all have our own faith. We all have the communal faith. Then we all have our individual faith as well. And here he's taking ownership of the words that he's written. He's taking ownership of the message that he sends to the people of Rome as he closes the letter in this doxology.
Mm. According to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations.
Well, it's been kept secret? What's that mean?
Yeah.
But remember, when under the old covenant, it was all for the Jews, wasn't it? Now we know there were some Gentiles in there. We know about Ruth. We know about a few others. Ruth even makes it into the genealogy of Jesus. But when we hear about that, we need to remember the old covenant and how it was kept within the Jewish community and was not sent out into all the world. That was a radical transformation that Jesus gave us when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's the new command that we have that's now being made known and sent into all the world and according to the command of the eternal God. And the prophetic writings, that's the scripture. Remember, we don't have the New Testament yet, but we still have the Old Testament, which speaks of Christ, which speaks to the things that were to come and now have happened. And so Paul is pointing them to the Old Testament to see the promises of God and to look and see how they've been fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
And to bring about the obedience of faith.
The obedience of faith, the new obedience. What's the new obedience? It's the obedience of faith is knowing that we try to be excellent at what is good. We try to be innocent of evil. But of course, we know we're going to fail. We know we fail. We fail daily. And so in that new obedience of faith, that's what still makes us obedient. Because when we fail, where do our failings go? Our sin does not stay with us, but our sin goes to the cross. We confess it. It's put on Christ, and we are given new robes of white. We are given forgiveness of sins and made to be obedient children of God once more. And that's how that is how the new obedience is brought about. And that's how it is brought about, is through the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ under the new obedience of faith. And then under the new obedience, we also go to the third use of law, and we do good works. We do good works not because it merits us anything, but because we first have been given the love of God, and so we share that with the world.
To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.
To the only wise God. Here he's saying, to the only God. There's only one God. You know, remember, he's living in a very polytheistic world, a world of many gods. The Romans, you know, we have Jupiter and all the other Roman gods on top of the Greek gods and the gods of other people. And when I say that, I'm using the lowercase g as in the mythical form.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these, but God, Paul here is reminding them to the only wise, the only true God, the only God able to actually hear or answer anything, because he's the only God who actually exists. And to him we want to give glory now and forevermore. And we do so through his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ, is where it's at. How has he ended? He ends it through Jesus Christ, followed by Amen, which is nothing more than saying, yea, yea, it shall be so. An affirmation of what has been said and a trusting in what has been said.
Anything else about this doxology before we look at the text as a whole?
I think so. You know, here it's a beautiful doxology. It's one we've heard before. I hear this, I think about the close of Hebrews. You know, now to him who is able to keep you, who is able to keep you from stumbling, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. It sounds very similar to this one. I'm not saying Paul wrote Hebrews. We're not always sure who wrote Hebrews. But at the same time, there's some similarities here. As a beautiful doxology to hear, as we're put into the hands, not of Paul the Apostle, not of their local pastor, but into the hands of Christ himself. Being in the hands of Jesus Christ himself, well, what better place to be? I mean, I like to think of myself as a good pastor. I pray that I am. I know I have my failings, and I pray to be better every day. But if I have my choice of being in my hands or the hands of Christ, I want to be in the hands of Christ. And that's where Paul leaves the people, in the hands of their Savior, in the hands of the one who has done all for their salvation, the one in whom they have been baptized, the one who they've been crucified with, buried with, and risen again with through their baptism. That's who Paul leaves them with, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Looking over this text for the day, this reading from the Treasury of Daily Prayer for the day, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this as a whole?
Well, I think it's just here we see how pastoral Paul is. Remember, Paul has not been there. Paul's not been to Rome. He's a Roman citizen, but he's not met this church in Rome. He's not met these people. And remember, who was Paul before? Before he came to Christ, he was Saul, a very devout Jew, thinking he was doing the right thing as he went about persecuting the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he was well known for that. And now he's writing a letter to the Romans, giving them all this beautiful, beautiful gospel, teaching them all the things of Christ. And now he leaves them with final instructions on how to live a Christian life, living it under the cross in Christ. And then he leaves them with the blessing of Christ. That when, what an amazing blessing. How often do we think about our benediction as we leave each other in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we can call upon God's name. And I think of how in the Old Testament, which Paul just came out of as one who was a Jew, born a Jew, converted on the through a vision of Christ. Remember, they would not even utter the name of Yahweh, holding it so sacred and honorable, and now they are brothers and sisters in Christ, united to Christ. What a beautiful blessing that Paul gives them. And our God is not a far-off God, but he's a God that's here with us, a God that is among us through the Holy Spirit and through the body and blood of Christ and the sacraments. And wow, all this stuff, and Paul packs it so tightly into this small closing as he gives us final greetings and as he gives us the blessing, the doxology, and teaches us a summary of the whole book of Romans, which in so often, especially as Lutherans, we look to as almost a summary of our own doctrine and faith.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor James Yonkers from First Lutheran Church in Floral, Alabama. Pastor Yonkers, thanks for being our guest pastor today, helping us study in Romans chapter 16.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, most certainly. It's my pleasure. God bless you and all the saints there at First Lutheran Church in Floral, Alabama. Coming up in just a little bit, historically speaking, with our friends over at Concordia Historical Institute, you're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.